The NASCAR Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party. This Saturday, sweat out your bets and win prizes with Ryan, Sean, and Colby over on YouTube.com/Sports Gambling Podcast. Plus, make sure to fill out our listener survey for a chance to win $100 SGPN gift card or go to SportsGamblingPodcast.com/survey.
Drivers, start your engine!
Strap in and pull those belts up tight as the Sports Gambling Podcast Network presents the NASCAR Gambling Podcast.
I'll wreck my mom to win a championship. I'll wreck your mom to win a championship.
With all the news and the best bets for your NASCAR weekend.
It refrains me from not beating the out of you right now because you ask me stupid questions. But since I'm on probation, I suppose that's improper to say as well. If you could talk about racing things, we could talk about racing things.
Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Zeeb.
Welcome in to the NASCAR Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He's Cody Zeeb. I'm Rod Villagomez. We are coming ever so closer to the end of the week, and that means that cars and trucks will start hitting the track here very, very shortly. Cody, I know racing weekend in the F1 has already begun. Speaking of that, we already talked about how our quote got stolen in a broadcast earlier. I think you brought up the F1 quote got stolen just recently too, right?
Yeah, well, they were doing the throwback, right? So when I think it was Seb that did the to whom it may concern, fuck you or whatever he said, and that was 2019, I think, at the Australian Grand Prix. That's where they're at this weekend. So they were replaying his victory and famous quote there. I thought that was great. Like, huh, this kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it?
All I'm saying is that if you are on the Sports Gambling Podcast in the motorsports division, we have got so much coverage that people are already starting to steal from us. I love it. Just kidding. We don't.
They're listening to the show so much, they've started replaying all these old clips because they realized how great they are.
They knew where to go for all of the fantastic content. But so again, like we said, we're working our way backwards, and we have been through the week, and I think that's how we're going to do it from now on, because finally today we got some decent truck odds, and in fact, they were sort of hidden. If you're looking around in your books and you can't find them,
make sure you scroll all the way to the very bottom where they're trying to. It's like, I don't know. I mean, last week we talked about it. The selection wasn't great. We waited till later in the week. It never really got better. We were kind of thinking the same thing even this morning. We were texting, and it was like, there's not. And then, you know, buried in the deep in the bosoms of the sports book, there were some odds. So we found them. Hit us up if you want to know where they're at. If you hang out in the Discord, you know where we usually shop at. But, there's some stuff out there for the trucks finally. So, and Rod, the trucks are at a different place. So we've been talking short track with Xfinity with the Cup Series. Now we got to talk intermediates, Texas Motor Speedway for the truck series. This thing's going to be a little different for them as they butt up head to head with the IndyCar guys over there. And I don't know if you've looked at the sheet yet, but I snuck in some IndyCar picks at the end of this. So
not surprised.
Stay tuned for a little bonus. They actually have IndyCar odds up on a Friday. I'm like, or whatever, today's Thursday. I was shocked. IndyCar doesn't usually come out to like 5 minutes before the race, and you have to hurry up and throw your bets in, and it's like, gosh. But we got some. So a little bonus Easter egg at the end for you there.
I feel like it is kind of crazy, though, that they're putting the trucks at the same place as Indy. And, you know, it's funny. I was watching some of the Indy highlights on this track, and it's kind of weird to see them on Texas, man. It's just, it just doesn't feel, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because we're F1 guys and we don't necessarily, you know, I know you're more indie as well, but like, I don't know, seeing those open wheel cars around actual oval tracks, it's just, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, they only do a few a year, but it is fun to watch. I mean, it's different from, you know, imagine if the F1 guys did an oval. That would be insane. I don't know if they'd know what to do, but no, it's great. I mean, they used to go to Kansas Speedway a lot when I was a kid. We would always go down and watch them there. I think they actually had some weekends with the trucks there too. So kind of a long time thing they've been doing. I like it. You get the NASCAR fans in there. They get to see the IndyCar. You get the IndyCar fans. They can come in for the NASCAR race. And yeah, and actually the schedule, I think, works a little bit backwards too. I believe the Xfinity race will be on before the truck race on Saturday. So we're even doing things out of order. I could be completely wrong. Xfinity's at noon on Saturday, and the trucks are at 3:30. Well, this is Central Time, but so adjust accordingly for wherever you're at. But yeah, we'll watch out of order even this week with Xfinity going off first, then the truck series, then you'll have IndyCar. Well, then you'll have F1 that night, then IndyCar, then NASCAR. Whew, we got a loaded weekend, Rod. It's like last week. I guess we still had all three NASCAR series in action, but there was no IndyCar, no F1. This week we got all five of them in action again. I'm excited.
My head's spinning. I can't even begin to fathom everything. And then of course, you know me, I'm a football fan, so they got XFL still rolling. Yep. I'm watching
baseball
Aussie rules.
Kicked off today.
Oh, see, I won't even touch baseball anymore. I got Aussie rules football. I've got XFL. I've got NASCAR. I've got F1. I've got Indy. I can't
Final
do anymore.
Fours this weekend, Rob. There's just got to be glued to TV, multiple TVs everywhere. I need to build my own God's eye in my basement.
I think my wife loves that idea.
But
yeah. Let's do that, and then let's hire the same divorce attorney because we're gonna need it.
I mean, half the time I already have something on the TV, something on my iPad sitting here, something on my phone. I'm trying to keep track of everything going on at once, anyways. So what's the difference if there's just a bunch of TV screens, right?
No one appreciates the struggle of a sports content creator. Unless you're another sports content creator, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, as Cody alluded to, yes, the trucks are going to be at the Texas Motor Speedway in Fort Worth for a 1.5 mile paved track, while everybody else is going to be out there running around at Richmond in the quarter or 3/4 mile track. But this race is going to be a 147 lap race. It is the SpeedyCash.com 250 over there, and 250 is a pretty long distance for a truck race, actually. Yeah, this is not.
Yeah, they extended this one a little bit. I guess with it being its standalone for as far as NASCAR goes. And then so no Cup guys are in this one either. With the distance, obviously, between Richmond and Texas, would have been more difficult for them to be over there. So no Cup guys, and there will not be live pit stops. That could come into play. I mean, if you get a flat tire or something, you can come down pit road and change tire. But other than that, you're only allowed basically at the stage breaks to come in, and it'll be similar to the dirt tracks and stuff like that. They'll red flag the race. You'll come down. You have, I think it's 5 minutes. Just going to be road crews out there because the pit crews are obviously going to be in Richmond, Virginia, getting ready for the Xfinity race at that point. So that is noteworthy because, you know, if you get somebody that's up front and they stay up front, they're not going to lose that spot on pit road because it's just going to freeze and everybody's going to come back out where they were. So, and if you do have an issue during the race, it could cost you because you don't have a normal pit crew that, you know, they're going to take them a little bit longer to change stuff. So it will be interesting to watch all that. I mean, obviously we deal with this enough with trucks and Xfinity. Anytime they have their own standalone event, these are the rules and how it works, but it is noteworthy that will be the case. So not really going to be any pit strategy or anything crazy like that here at Texas.
Hey, we saw a little preview of that when the pit crews weren't in, and remember when Kyle Busch had his like C team. I don't know what, maybe they were just pulling people from the stands to be in the pit crew at that point. But I mean,
yeah, there guys, was that Vegas, I think it was, where they had all those the plane issues and pit crews were running way behind. So yeah, this week they just won't even have them.
Yeah, so it's going to be, again, and this is a track where, and it, especially with these truck drivers, that could happen. I mean, we've seen some large laps led on this, and of course, this is now 30 more miles more than what it would be before, right? It was 220 race the last few times that it's been here. So now we're adding 30 miles onto it. Although it was the speedycash.com 400 back then, but it was still only 220 miles. So, again, you tell me why these names are these names.
Well,
what?
I got no explanation. I don't know. So yeah. I'm done trying to figure out the weird math they're trying to run and all these different things.
Yeah, I got nothing. Although I will say, hold on. So back that up. I misspoke. So it's the speedycash.com 250, but it's still only slated for 220 miles, 147 laps on this mile and a half paved track. So whatever. No, don't even try.
That's old. No, I think this is 250.
Oh, maybe it is 250.
167 laps.
All right. Well, then this is lying to me then. This breakdown is lying to me.
I think previously it was the 220 or whatever.
It was the 220.
Yeah. According to NASCAR's app, at least. So, take that for what it's worth.
Please,
they could be wrong too.
Leave us a review telling us how much bad information we give you and how much Rod contradicts himself, and we'll be good to go on that. So, all right. Listen, we have got some bets to lay down. But before that, is there any sort of news and or notes? I know we dropped the bombshells yesterday on the Xfinity show, but is there any follow-ups on that?
Yeah, yesterday was the big news day. Obviously, we talked about the penalties being changed for Hendrick and all the other news. A couple smaller stories. Grand Marshals for the All-Star race will be Richard Petty and Darrell Waltrip. That's going to be pretty exciting. Obviously, they're doing the throwback. They're going back to North Wilkesboro. It's going to be a whole weekend of everything. Dale Jr. is going to be racing the Cars Tour that weekend. Potentially Jimmy Johnson could be back, competing to get into the All-Star race, all this other fun stuff. So it'll be great to see those guys there. And then NASCAR did approve a waiver for Josh Williams in the Xfinity Series to remain playoff eligible after serving his one race suspension. That is not anything new. That's what they've done previously. Unlikely he makes the playoffs, of course, unless he goes and wins one of these super speedways, which always a possibility. And we might just have to bet on him to do that just because it'll be fun. But yeah, that's really all there is in NASCAR news today. It's been a slower news day. I think they just save Wednesdays for the big drop. That's when all the penalties come out and everything. I do know Denny Hamlin not super pleased with the Daniel Suarez penalty. I'll have to find his tweet. But he said, just as a reminder, I went on a podcast and apparently broke three rules 24 hours later, 50K and 25 points. If you remember, Suarez was bumping Bowman dangerously on pit road, only got fined 50K. So I did think that was kind of interesting because I feel like maybe Hamlin's was not quite as bad as I guess you could argue that it was for what was on the track. But yeah, I don't know. I think Suarez was probably worse than Hamlin's.
Hey, listen, man, words hurt, okay? If anybody knows that words are weapons as well, so it hurts just as much as getting bumped in the pits. I don't want to hear anything about it. I'm just kidding. It just seems arbitrary. And listen, honestly, man, if you start to look at some of this stuff, it's all arbitrary. Anyways, people are just making stuff up, like $100,000, 4-week suspension. I mean, it's just all made up anyways.
Well,
right?
And half the time it always gets changed. It seems like more times than not, these appeals end up resulting in reductions almost always. So I don't know if, who knows? We'll see. Denny Hamlin's got his appeal next week as well as colleagues. So we'll have more news on those. I know I've seen a lot of the keyboard warriors, as Mike Joy likes to call them. Hendrick, it's all the preferential treatment. What about colleague? Theirs didn't get overturned. You should probably pay attention and realize that theirs is next week, but oh well, anyways.
All I'm saying, look, I fine you 15,000 jelly beans and we'll make it all good. I don't know. I got nothing.
There was, I'll have to find the story because it was great. It might have been Rusty Wallace or somebody brought a Brinks truck of pennies to pay a fine one time. I will dig that story up and share that in the Discord. I don't remember exactly who it was, but somebody paid a fine. It might have even been like Kurt Busch or something, but somebody paid a fine in all pennies, and I will I'll find that story and share that in the Discord later.
Quite literally stacking pennies for the fine. Got to love it. All right. Well, not to steal a phrase from Corey LaJoy, but let's help you stack some pennies in these bets here. Coming up for this truck race, we'll do this after the break. But as we always do, let's tell you about WynnBET. It's the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is now active in Michigan and a ton of other states. Be sure to be on the lookout for the WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time during that magical WynnBET Win Hour. Marquee games of the week will have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And, of course, as Cody just said, March Madness is finding its way to an end. There's still a lot of ways to bet on the big dance. Sign up today. You're going to get a special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And, of course, for DGens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you're going to get a $1,000 free credit. So much to choose from, and all you got to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WynnBET app. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present this year. Playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or somebody who has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. If you're like me, you're always looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan, but if you want to hang out with them at the Stadium Swim and watch the biggest golf tournament in the world, do that. You can also win a three-night stay at Circa Las Vegas to hang out with the guys. This contest, just like everything else on the SGPN world, is completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golfparty. And if you don't win the contest, but I think you have a good shot of doing it, you're still going to get a good discount on a room using that promo code SGP15. Final Four Watch Party is going virtual. Hang out with the guys on the YouTube channel for the entire Saturday of Final Four action, live bets, prize giveaways, and so much more happening. Subscribe to youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast and tune in on Saturday.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Well, like we said, we are off to Texas. The stars are bright. They're big and bright. Anyways, whatever. We'll still probably not see many. I think this race doesn't start in the nighttime. It won't run in the nighttime. So forget what I just said. Who cares about stars?
Real quickly, I did find the story while you were doing that ad break there. It was Rusty Wallace. I was correct. 1997, the story goes somewhat like this. Rusty Wallace was heard swearing over the radio. Don't listen to the radio these days. He was soon instructed to pay a fine of $5,000 for it. However, instead of paying the fine straightforwardly through a check, Wallace had a trick up his sleeve. He decided to pull up with a truck loaded to the brim with 500,000 pennies weighing $3,500. Yep, he got individual pennies to pay the fine. He brought France along with him and opened up the rear door of the truck, and in front of him were neatly arranged bags full of pennies. As Wallace began explaining how he was about to pay his fine, France was unable to keep it together and cracked up. Rusty picked up a bag of pennies and handed it to France and said, now remember y'all, you can't never say shit. So yeah, that's pretty entertaining.
You know, listen, and I wonder though, would I have a sense of humor about that? And really, where would you even go to make that deposit? Like, I feel like you would have to go in the same place. You know,
I'm guessing you call like one of those armored truck people, and then because that's there is a picture here, and I just shared it in the thing, but it looks like the back of like an armored truck. So
it's hilarious.
I think they just called up the bank and said, "Hey, I need 500,000 pennies."
Hey, Rusty Wallace here. I'm gonna need a favor for you, and they're like, "Anything he for probably, you, Rusty?"
He probably had to pay $500,000 for them to bring those pennies out there for him.
I mean,
doubled his own fine.
All right. Well, let's start laying down some bets for this SpeedyCash.com 250 race. That's 220 miles or 250. I don't care what it is, whatever.
All right. I am going to start out and shout out to Cameron Olson. He hit me up earlier, was asking some questions about trucks. He was in a legal betting state, needed to get some stuff in. He hoped to hear Christian Eckes on the podcast tonight. Guess what? Got Christian Eckes for you. I'm going to take him at a top five at minus 120. He is a man that's on a mission, I think. Got let go from Thor Sport kind of unceremoniously and just replaced basically with Haley Deegan. And so just kind of dropped, didn't have a ride. Things kind of fell in place for him to go over to that McAnally Racing. And he won a couple weeks ago at Atlanta, and has been running pretty well so far. So if you want to look back, I know we had with the Cup and Xfinity, we could look back at Phoenix to compare to Richmond as a similar track. In the Truck Series, we've got Vegas, the only other normal race we've had, right? It's been two super speedways and a road course, and then Vegas. So Vegas is kind of the one race we have so far this season to look at. Eck has finished sixth place there. Kyle Busch won that race. So, of course, without Cup guys, that would put him in fifth. He is minus 120 for this. Let's see. He finished third at Daytona, won the Atlanta race. So, again, he's off to a pretty good start this season. Last year, he did finish second place at Texas in that Thor Sport truck. He was fourth place at Charlotte, a comparable track, sixth place at Nashville, which is an intermediate track as well, 10th at Kansas, 7th at Miami. So Eck is very good on the intermediates. He's got a fire lit under him. We've seen flashes from that 19 truck with Derek Krause in it. It almost always seemed like, I mean, his own spotter would comment on Door Bumper Clear and say he was always hitting things. Like it just, he was kind of getting in his own way. And so I think that Eckes is not only a man on the mission, I think he's got the talent. He's already proved he can run well. We saw their sixth place run there at Vegas already this season. So Christian Eckes for a top five at minus 120 is how I'm going to lead off.
And that's, you know, I was on Eckes as well. I wanted to find betting angles. I was doing a lot of research on that to try to find one. And then, of course, I had to leave for another employment opportunity that I have every day. And by the time I come back, Cody's already got Eckes. So I was like, all right, fantastic. I'm glad he's in there because I was definitely going to pick something on him. And I don't know, and I didn't put him. Oh, I did put him in there. Never mind.
Yeah, you got a bet on him.
I got a bet.
If you
want
to jump up and just talk about that, you can.
You're the boss. I could do that, but I'm gonna give you my top three first.
We'll tease Rod's Eckes play in a bit.
Yeah, I'll come back on Eckes because, like I said, I did want to find a way to get him in there, and it'll make sense as the order progresses. But
we're off to a much better start already than we were yesterday, Rod.
Hey,
we disagreed most of yesterday. If you didn't listen to the Xfinity show, go back and listen. Rod and I don't usually disagree a ton, but very much on different pages in that race. We kept it civil, but our betting cards are drastically different.
I don't think the Discord likes it much when Mommy and Daddy fight. I think they'd rather us just get along. It's funny.
Except that one guy that was complaining that we disagreed with each other all the time.
I agree with you, Cody. We do agree with each other too much. All right. So my first bet is Stuart Friesen, our favorite Canadian truck driver. I've got him as a top three finish. I got to tell you, I wasn't necessarily thrilled with top five and top three odds as far as the favorites were concerned. I know Eckes, I love Eckes as a top five car. I really do. And minus 120 doesn't feel like that bad of a hit considering, but even still, like, I wanted to see more out of this market. Unfortunately, I didn't see what I wanted to, but I did like Friesen as a top three. And I just only turned to the fact that he has won this race already once before. It's not as if he's had the best. Here's where I'm going to contradict myself. It's not like he had the best finishes the last two before that. He finished 34th and 28th, but he wrecked out of both of those. But in 10 starts overall, he's got five top 10 finishes and four top five finishes. And in fact, three of those top five finishes have been top three finishes. He had a second place in 2018, a second place in 2019. He did have a fourth place in 2020 in the spring when they came here. This was that year where they came here twice because of COVID. So it was the fourth place in the spring. And then, of course, he won here in 2022. So I know it's not been the best season at all for Stuart Friesen. We have definitely been frustrated by him. His best finish so far this season is 14th. He's done it twice, once in Vegas and last week on the road course in COTA. Outside of that, a 28th finish at Daytona, super speedway. 22nd finish at Atlanta, another quasi super speedway. Friesen has not necessarily put a good season together so far, but a week off. Right now we're in a place where pit strategies aren't going to play a thing. Everybody's going to have pretty much equal ground. He's going to be on a track in which he's won before. So I like Stuart Friesen to have a bounce back week. I'm going to put him inside the top three. I like the plus 220 on this. I really do feel like this is actually decent enough value for a truck, which I think is going to be in that top three. And Cody, you talked about it too, as far as some of these other guys that aren't going to be on this track this season. So, or I mean, no Cup guys know anybody. So he gets a clear shot at it.
Yeah, I like this. I actually had found a head-to-head where I was trying to fade Friesen. And then as like dug into the research and everything, I couldn't talk myself into it. It feels like he's had a real shitty start to the season. But you go and you look, and it's two super speedways. There's a road course in there. And I couldn't talk myself out of it. I mean, he won here last season. Like you said, he's had a lot of success at mile and a half over the years. So I even though I wanted to, I couldn't talk myself out of it. So getting the top three at plus 220, I like that. Next up, we're actually going to go head-to-head against each other on this head-to-head. I've surprised myself a lot this week, Rod. Wait till we get to the DFS show and you see my surprise I have over there. Because I've been picking guys that I don't normally pick this week, but I guess we'll see how it goes. I'm actually going to take Matt DiBenedetto over, is it Tyler Ankrum, I believe is his name,
yes,
right?
Yes, that is yes. His name.
It's minus 120. This one is a fairly close matchup, I would say, but Matty D has been impressive to start the season. Had a couple of good runs. So I was looking back at Vegas. Matty D finished 12th. Ankrum finished 15th. You go over to Vegas last season, Matty D was 6th. Ankrum 16th. You go to Kansas, a comparable track last year, 7th for Matty D, 16th for Ty. And then you go to Texas. Did they go? Yeah, Texas last year. So this race. 10th for Matty D. And Tyler Ankrum was 33rd. Charlotte 17th for Matty D, 20th for Ankrum. The second Kansas race, Matty D 12th, Tyler Ankrum in 14th. And then there's two, Nashville and Miami Homestead are comparable tracks, but less so. They're slightly different, but still comparable. Those are the two races where Ankrum got him. So in six of the eight quote-unquote comparable races last season, six of the last eight, that includes Vegas this season, Matt DiBenedetto has beat out Tyler Ankrum. So I like the Matt DiBenedetto side of this at minus 120.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go against you on this one because I took the Tyler Ankrum side of this. And it's, look, it's got a lot to do with the way that Tyler has actually started the season. I'm impressed by the fact that he does actually have two top 10 finishes, a guy we don't normally talk about, right? I mean, this is not a guy, we brought him up a couple of times over the last few seasons, how long have we been on the air?
It's a few now.
Here and there, but yeah, we don't normally talk about him too much. Look, I know we like to poo-poo that it's a super speedway and a road course, but he did finish 7th at Daytona, 4th at Austin, and then 15th at Las Vegas. I know you had talked about where Ankrum finished, or I'm sorry, DiBenedetto finished 12th there. But outside of that, like a 20th place at Daytona, 29th at Austin, a 12th in Vegas, a 6th in Atlanta. Like, I mean, Matty D's been okay. He's been solid. But I just feel like, and he's only raced on this track once as a truck driver, and that was his 10th place finish. So, again, this is the truck series, and he's not necessarily known for his truck racing skills, whereas Ankrum's been here for a little while. He's been in this truck series for, the last, six seasons. So I just feel like he's got a better edge on this week. I do like his side of it, and I like the price, too. He's at minus 110. He's not juiced on the side of Matty D. And again, like I said, I'm going a lot on what he's done this season as opposed to really what he's done in the past. He actually finished well here on this track. So, like I said, I feel like this is a Tyler Ankrum week over Matt DiBenedetto. So I'm going to stick with that.
We'll see who comes out ahead in this one.
We sure.
Next up for me, I'm going to go to one of my new favorite truck drivers to bet on, Taylor Gray over Matt Crafton. This is plus 130. Shop around because it's minus 115 on another book. So that's a huge swing going from minus 115 either way to having Gray over Crafton at plus 130. Taylor Gray just turned 18, literally at the race last week at COTA. So he's not been allowed to drive these size tracks in the truck series before. So there are no statistics for the young Taylor Gray at this type of track. So I have no statistics to give you there. Matt Crafton, I wrote he's just okay on intermediates. 11th place at Vegas this season. 7th at Vegas last season. 9th at Kansas. 9th at Texas. 18th at Charlotte. 15th at Kansas. 8th at Miami. So just a lot of just okay finishes for Crafton. But I'm really big on Gray. I think he's in solid equipment. Crafton, of course, is as well, and he's three-time champion. He's been around for a while, but he's not producing to the level that he used to produce to. But Gray, if you go last season at this race, Ryan Preece was in the truck. Now, yes, Ryan Preece obviously going to be a more talented driver back in the Cup Series now, but the truck ran well. He finished third in this one. And then his brother Tanner, who's also in the Tricon trucks, finished 10th place in both stages at the Vegas race. Earlier this season, he ended up, I think, 13th in that race, but was in the top 10 in both stages. And if you look at their odds, Tanner, Taylor's brother, is 50-1. Taylor's 25-1 to win this race. So obviously the books think that Taylor, it's going to be so confusing. The books think that Taylor, the younger brother, is the better driver by twice. You know, his odds are half of his brother. So if Tanner was able to run up there well, I think that Taylor is going to be able to perform even better. So this is kind of just me going out there with a gut, but I've been keeping an eye on Taylor coming up through the series, running the ARCA series a lot. He's been very impressive, and he seems to be a guy that is going to be a very good driver. And we've seen Tanner run very well, and then Taylor is supposed to be the better driver, right? You got the Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch type of thing, right, where Kurt comes along first, a little bit older, very good in his own right, and then Kyle comes up and it's like, holy shit, this guy is real good, right? So I think maybe not to that degree, of course. Those guys are pretty legendary, but I like Taylor Gray a lot. It's gonna be rough while we figure out which one's which. And it's not like Terry and Bobby Labonte or something. Like, it's Tanner and Taylor. Let's make it as close as we possibly can so everybody can confuse these two names.
Yeah.
But Taylor Gray over Matt Crafton at +130.
Their parents were not doing anybody any justice by allowing that to happen. Yeah, that's not so that's
both
not even
their
fair.
Names with the TA, and it's like, geez, come on,
yeah,
make it easier on us.
let's just confuse everybody for the life of your life.
Exactly.
But you have been flying the gray flag for the better part of this season, and you even talked about him last season as well. They may as well just adopt you and call you I don't even know what they
would call it. What's another TA name that I can be a gray brother that sounds similar to Taylor and Tanner?
Yeah, we'll have to come up with a better one. Discord, come up with a gray name for Cody in the next few hours. All right, I am going to move on to my next bet. Again, another couple of drivers we don't necessarily talk much about, and that's Nick Sanchez. I'm going to take him over Corey Heim. This one's probably a difficult one for you guys to hear because you know that Cody's pretty high on Corey Heim, and that's fine, and it's not that he's not a good driver, but Nick Sanchez has turned a little bit of heads here recently, especially the last couple of races. He started in the pole, right, at Daytona. That already got everybody's head turned right there, unfortunately. He only finished 26th in that race. Started second in Las Vegas, right, after everything that happened. And unfortunately, he finished 30th in that race. But, see, when he started in the back of the pack, it got better for him. He started 20th in Atlanta, finished second. Last week at COTA, he started 4th and finished 7th. So two impressive top 10 finishes for Sanchez. On this Texas Motor Speedway road course, he started 20th last season, finished 11th. Not bad for Nick Sanchez. Corey Heim, again, not bad in his own right. He started second here last season, finished 7th. And then this year, it's been sort of back and forth for him as well. He does have three top 10 finishes. The fourth part of it is his 34th place finish when he crashed out of Atlanta. He's been a top 10 truck pretty much all season long. And he's definitely been impressive, but for whatever reason, I just feel like this is a sneaky play in that Sanchez is at +100 in this. And with the way he's had a couple of good finishes in a row now, that camp might actually be putting stuff together and maybe he'll have a good run and maybe kind of not necessarily dwindle back from a good start, or maybe he'll charge up from a bad start. I don't know, but I feel Sanchez having a good week this week, and I like the plus money side of this as well. It's going to be tough. Definitely will be tough. I'll give it that much. And in fact, you may even see these guys running in the same vicinity all race long, and it could be, you know, Heim over Sanchez for a little while and then Sanchez over Heim. But again, ultimately, I think Sanchez gets the best of this.
Yeah, I looked at this one and I couldn't decide either way because I am a big Heim guy. I like him a lot. He's been impressive so far, but Sanchez he's in what's basically a KBM truck. It's technically owned by somebody else. I don't have that in front of me, but it's they're based out of the KBM shop. Basically, it is a KBM truck. So he's been impressive to start the season. You look at the winner odds. I mean, Heim is plus 700 to win. Sanchez is plus 800. So they're right there neck and neck. They obviously think they're close. You're getting the plus money side of things. I don't know if I could pull the trigger, but I don't blame you for pulling the trigger, especially at the plus money side of things. I think that helps. Speaking of guys that just turned 18, my next bet as well is going to be another guy that doesn't really have track history because he did just turn 18. But Jake Garcia, I'm going to take him to win Group C. This is a different group, I guess, would be a way to put that. It's some interesting names in here, but you got Jake Garcia at the top. Again, I don't generally take the top guy in a group, but this one I felt comfortable with. So he's at the top of the group at plus 275. Then it's Colby Howard, Brett Holmes, Raja Carruth, Dean Thompson, and Ryan Vargas at plus 550. Round out the entire group. So Garcia did turn 18 after Daytona. Again, if you remember, Chase Elliott was in that truck for Daytona because Garcia wasn't old enough. Turned 18, so he was at the Vegas race. A solid run for him there. He finished in 10th place. He is in a McAnally truck. He's a teammate of Christian Eckes, who we already talked about. That truck has been good so far. And they seem to have, even though they've not always been like a top-tier program, like Napa's always been on that 19 truck. Like they have some really good sponsors. There's definitely some money there as well. So I think that's gonna continue to shine for them going forward. But Garcia's in that solid truck. And the rest of this group is kind of in blah trucks, to be honest with you. I mean, Raja Carruth is in a GMS truck, but it's been very up and down for Carruth so far. He's the one that I would say is in the closest equipment, but is not consistent in his finishes at all. If you go look at the Vegas race, again, the most comparable to this, Dean Thompson was the closest finish. So Jake Garcia, 10th. Thompson finished 16th. Colby Howard was 18th. Raja was 24th. Brett Holmes was 34th. Ryan Vargas was not in that race. He's was a full-time Xfinity guy, not doing that this season. So he's kind of bouncing around just looking for rides here and there. I don't really have any faith in any of these guys. None of them are in nearly as good of equipment as Garcia is, other than Carruth. I would say the GMS trucks are fairly decent, not the greatest as they were a few seasons ago. But for me, Jake Garcia at plus 275 is clearly the best one in this group. I don't know that you could call anybody in here a reliable finisher, and we haven't seen much from Jake as he is a young guy at this point, but I think there is some hype there, and I feel like he to me is clearly the best pick in this group. So I'm going to ride with Jake Garcia at plus 275.
Yeah, it is. That is such a weird group. And I saw that same group and I thought
like this though. Yeah. The groups that are, you know, we talk about watching the whole race. You're going to be rooting for guys that are anywhere from 10th to 30th in this group. And it's going to be fun to watch and see who ends up where and how it shakes out. But I like when they give us these groups of random kind of backmarker guys almost. I mean, we got that in F1 this week too, and it's like, you know, while Max Verstappen's out there dominating, you can be worried about who's running 12th or 13th in the race and who's winning your group there.
Yeah, and that's for as much as we waited, I'm glad that we did wait because there were a few extras that gained, and I for one am applauding that, and that's not just on this. I wish they would do that more across the board. Yes. Give us more of these weird backmarker groups.
And we talked about it in the Cup Series, right? We had the one with LaJoy and Dylan and Cody Ware and Alfredo, like it just all those guys that are kind of now. I think LaJoy obviously has proven to be a lot better at this point, but
still not a guarantee, you know? And so, yeah, give us these groups. I love this. I'm going to keep betting on them when I can find them.
Yeah. Well, my group is actually going to be running more probably toward the front to the middle. I did sort of, but I found value in this pick actually. And that is Christian Eckes is at +250 to win Group E. And honestly, this is crazy because you just got done talking about Christian Eckes and everything that he's done. And that's been fantastic. And he's not even the favorite to win this group. In fact, he's tied with Ben Rhodes. So the other folks in this is Corey Heim. We just talked about Corey Heim. Ben Rhodes is in this group and Nick Sanchez is in this group. Now, I just gave a case of Sanchez and Heim, right? But I don't think that they're going to be in the top five. I think they'll be in the top 10, and I think they'll be battling for 10th to maybe 15th in that position. I still think Sanchez finishes over Heim, but I still think Eckes finishes better than all of those together, especially me given the fact that I think that he is going to have a top five finish just like Cody. Because, you know, we laid out with Christian Eckes has already done, especially this season as well. But I will say, since we talked about Heim and Sanchez already, Ben Rhodes, this track has not been nice to him as a truck driver. He has 12 starts. He's got four top 10 finishes. He has a 20th place, a 20th, 6th, and a 27th place in his last three starts on this track. Not fun for the 99 car. And Ben Rhodes, I mean, he's off to an okay start this season. But again, this is a guy that's won the championship, and he's at 11th place at Daytona. He did finish third at Vegas, which is, you know, cool. Fifth at Atlanta, 10th at Austin. But again, I don't feel like Christian, he will be able to keep up with Christian Eckes, just like I can't keep up with words this week. And if Eckes is a top five car, I don't think any of these other guys are. So that's really my basis for it, is if I think Eckes is going to run with the leaders, I don't think any of these guys are also going to be up there in the front. So this will be a clear win. And plus, at 250 to win this group, I love those odds.
Yeah, I mean, Rhodes is definitely the one that scares me the most. But like you said, his track history here, not great. So yeah, I think you're getting good value at +250. So I'll go with you on that one. Next up for me, Taylor Gray, top five this time. +350 on this. Again, I'm all aboard the Taylor Gray train. We know that these Tricon trucks are good, formerly DGR, but they've had a lot of success over the last few years. They've won plenty of races. They've shown out to be good. I already kind of talked to you about his stats. Again, nothing on these intermediate styles, as he wasn't old enough to drive on them, is now. But this truck has performed well in the past. And I like Taylor Gray a lot. I'm big on him, so I want to get in now before everybody realizes he's good and you don't get these types of numbers anymore.
And really, that's what we talk about all the time, is just getting in on him early enough. And I mean, obviously you can't get on it early in the week because they don't come out early in the week, but this is early, right? This is early. There's no practice yet. There's no qualifying. This is early.
Well, I mean, how many times have we bet on Kevin Harvick plus money for a top 10 and he's like -400 this week, Rod? So see, we were getting ahead of the trends there. Now they're scared of us.
How many times have we bet Tyler Reddick to win a race at 10-1 and he qualifies well and he's at +325? I don't know.
Good job, Rod.
I'm sorry. I don't do that. And it makes me uncomfortable.
Brag it up. Do it. No, brag it.
I'm not gonna.
You swept last week. You need to talk about it more.
No, I'm good. Because then the cold streak starts and then it's like, oh, Rod, now are you hitting? Like keyboard warriors. I love Mike Joy. All right. So listen, on that note, I'm actually going to give out a winning manufacturer, and Toyota is actually the last manufacturer on this list, which I understand because it's not the same Toyota lineup that it was before, but you got Ford at +125, Chevy at +160, Toyota at +290. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we know now Kyle Busch Motorsports is no longer a Toyota company, which is why probably Toyota is the longest shot, but you still got a couple of good Toyotas in that group who I actually think is going to win this. And at +290, it's a good way to double dip on a winning bet as well. Who are the Toyotas? Well, you've got Dean Thompson. Okay. You got Corey Heim. Okay. But you got Tanner Gray and you got Taylor Gray. So if you believe that the Grays have a good shot of trying to make a run for this, which Cody does, then you've got a couple of good bets in that as well. And it doesn't matter which gray. It could be Taylor, it could be Tanner, it could be whatever Cody's gray name comes in. As he crosses the finish line first, that'll get you the win. And then, of course, Stuart Friesen is in that. And then Tyler Hill in a Toyota running for Timmy Hill. You know, crazy things happen, but...
Yeah, that would be crazy.
That would be crazy. But again, but I'm also going to back it up too. That Toyota has won this in 5 out of the last 6 races that it's raced. Now, of course, like I said, a lot of that has to do with KBM. But even still, like when a manufacturer dominates, sometimes they don't forget how to do it, and they could do it again. Sheldon Creed actually broke that streak for a while there in 2020, but I don't think Sheldon Creed's going to, I don't even think he's in this race, right? I know he's, yeah.
No, he'll be in the Xfinity, which race. There's definitely not enough time between the races to get back to Richmond. So no,
not even close. So, so that's that's a good hedge, especially if you really do think that you can find a better value. I know you can't find a better manufacturer value than Toyota. And I know why. Like I said, I know why. It's going to be a tough sell, but my winner is in a Toyota, so
I like it. I'm also going to give out a Toyota winner, one of them, but Florida plus 125. Oof, I don't know. I think I might just take that, but we'll see.
We'll figure it out. I'm sure it'll be fine. Yes. All right. Well, we'll get to those winners after the break, and we'll break down who we think is going to win the SpeedyCash.com 250. Well, let's tell you about Underdog Fantasy. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy continues their March Madness College Pick'em. It's a great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is already busted. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props and great NBA and NHL daily games. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. God bless you if you guys watch us on YouTube. I don't know what the appeal is. I don't think I'll ever know what the appeal is of watching me on anything other than a podcast form. But thank you for doing so. You guys are doing it in droves now. More and more of you are starting to subscribe. More and more of you are starting to click that bell, and we appreciate it. The bosses appreciate it. Cody appreciate it. Every time a subscriber clicks the bell, Cody gets his wings. So we want to continue to have that happen. So we thank you for that. Continue to do so, and we'll continue to reward you with, I don't know, whatever. I can't.
Like I said before, Rod, you make these reads fun.
Look, I was told once upon a time that you are born with an infinite, or with a finite amount of words to use over the course of your life. I've probably used enough words for 20,000 people in their lives. So I feel like I'm coming up on my limit at some point. I just don't know when that is.
Maybe.
I don't know. if at some point you guys hear complete blank air, it's because I've pretty much used up my allotment.
Rod ran out of his word allocation.
And just, I'll put in the Discord, sorry, I'm out.
Well, hopefully for everyone's sake, that doesn't happen, because we need you here.
I love it. All right, listen, speaking of words, this is a pretty word-filled block here that Cody's about to lay out for his winner's picks, as always.
Well, yes. Okay, so I really feel like this race is going one direction, and I feel like that is Zane Smith dominating it, Zane Smith winning, Zane Smith running away from the field. And it's only plus 300, but again, sometimes you just have to pay the chalk, and I really don't know who is going to compete with Zane Smith and just really give him a run for his money. Now, something could break, he could have an issue, he could get in a wreck. There's plenty of things that could go wrong, obviously, and somebody else wins. But head-to-head, I don't think anybody is anywhere close to Zane so far this season. You go back and we look at how he's done so far. First at Daytona, right? Super Speedway, not comparable, but he won the race. Second place at Las Vegas, who'd he lose to? Kyle Busch. Then 20th at Atlanta, Super Speedway. Then he comes back last week, wins COTA, beats Kyle Busch, beats Ross Chastain. Beat Alex Bowman, I guess, didn't make the race, but... but Zane Smith got it done. He's clearly the best driver in the truck series. He's already getting some rides in the cup series. He's likely, I think, auditioning for the number four ride in the Cup Series next season. Zane Smith is on the fast track. You go last year to comparable tracks. Second place at Vegas. He was DQ'd and ended up finishing last there, but that was because some lug nuts were missing. That didn't affect his run. He ran second place at that race. He then won at Kansas. He did finish 32nd here at Texas. He got up involved in an accident early. Again, it can happen, so it's not a guarantee, of course. But he was third in stage one there. He ended up having a flat tire late in the race. No caution came out. That just screwed him at that point. He had to go down and get it fixed under green. Fifth place at Charlotte, second place at Nashville, fourth place at Kansas, second place at Miami. All these other intermediates where he didn't have the tire go down late, Zane Smith was up near the front. And again, the field is weaker this season, I think, in the Truck Series. He's much more clearly the top dog. He's already proving it to us early. So it's not a sexy pick. Don't love to do it all the time. But Zane Smith plus 300, I can't not take it because I think that he is the top guy. And then really, I believe in him so much, I didn't even want to take a 10-1. Nothing else really jumped out to me. So I went down and tried to find some value, just throw some darts in case shit hits the fan and who knows what can happen. I found Chase Purdy, actually, not a guy we've talked about much yet, but 25-1. He is in a KBM truck. We've seen KBM trucks have been fast. There was a lot of questions. We weren't quite sure. Are they going to have the speed? Are they going to have the funding, you know, switching over to Chevy? Obviously, when Kyle Busch is in the truck, it's going to be good no matter what. You put him out there in a go-kart against the trucks, he probably still would beat him half the time. But Purdy has looked fast. At Vegas, he was fourth in stage two, ends up finishing eighth in the race. So not, you know, super great, but good enough. He was in Hattori equipment last season. Definitely not as good of a car, but 14th at Vegas, 13th at Kansas, 21st at Texas, 15th at Charlotte, 13th in Nashville, 16th at Miami. So I feel like those were pretty decent finishes for the type of equipment he was limited to. Now you're putting him in elite equipment in a KBM truck. I think he could get it done. I mean, had you told us over the last few years you could get a KBM truck at 25-1, we'd have ran to the window, right? So I think that alone makes it worth it. And then I can't leave Taylor Gray off. Of course, Rod, I love the kid. I'm big on him. So 25-1 as well. Those are just kind of my, in case shit hits the fan, we get 49 overtime restarts. There's crazy wrecks. Who knows what happens? But, you know, I think these guys are good enough to win if they get the proper help. But I really think this is going to be the Zane Smith show. Potentially just leads every single lap in this race and never looks back, Max Verstappen style.
Yeah, listen, truth be told, that was exactly where I was going as well. Zane Smith, I knew, and I think I even seen him at like plus 350. That was kind of the highest.
We're changing the picture of that then.
Yeah, well, don't quote me on that. We still got to shop around some more, but
I'll shop while you talk.
Yeah, exactly. And again, as always, if you want to know where to find the best ones, just hit us in the Discord because we'll tell you. Obviously, we do shop around, but we can, you know, can't tell you where, but anyways, so listen, for me, and again, I truly believe that Zane Smith is going to win this race. There's just no stopping him, and it's just, you're right, he's the best truck out there, and he's dominant here too, so I can't argue with you on that one. I really do fully endorse that one. It was going to be my pick, and you got to him first. So my fallback, though, just, it'll be Friesen, and for the fact that he did win this race last season. We did lay out some of his stats before. I mean, listen, in his 10 starts, he does have those four top fives, which we talk about it all the time. If you can finish in the top five, all it takes is a couple of crazy things to happen and you're finishing first, or you're finishing second, or you're running second, and then you can go, you know, he's got two second place finishes here. He's got a fourth place finish. And to me, again, he hasn't put it together yet this year. I think he does it this time. There's just no other distractions. There's no other drivers other than full-time Cup guys out there. And if anybody can give Zane Smith a run for his money, I feel like it's Stuart Friesen on this track, especially the fact that he did finish well here last season and won this race. And it wasn't as if he didn't beat everybody to do it. He beat Ekis, he beat Hosovar, Majeski, Nemechek, right, was in this as well. So he beat some pretty big names to do it as well. Led 60 laps, the most laps on this track last season in a dominant race for him. So, you know, again, I think Zane Smith's going to do this. I truly believe he is. But if nothing else, give me Stuart Friesen to do so. He was second in both stages. Again, if everything hits the fan and Zane Smith bottoms out, loses a wheel, right, or decides he wants to go eat a hot dog for the third part of the race, I think Friesen is in line to take the win.
And it happened last year, right? So it's that a possibility still hangs there. Smith had the late flat tire. Friesen was obviously up there, and he ran away with it and won the race. So it's a good argument. Again, I do think it is going to be the Zane Smith show, but I went chalk last week and was wrong there too. So who knows?
I
did find Zane at plus 320. So we'll make that. Okay,
we'll make that the official one. Good. What's this? I see where. How do you pronounce that name? I see it at the bottom of the screen here, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. What is this?
Yes. Well, I figured since the IndyCar is with the trucks, might as well give out a couple winners. Follow me on Twitter at Husker_Z. I am putting a full card together, but I am going to take Joseph Newgarden to win this race at 6-1. He won Texas last year. He won the Iowa race, the second Iowa race. Those were back-to-back days. Iowa is also, if you don't know, another oval. There's only a few ovals on the IndyCar schedule. But so he won Iowa day one. Day two, he led 148 laps before a mechanical failure caused a very scary crash. Luckily, he was okay. And then he also won at Gateway, another oval later on in the season. So Newgarden, very good at them. I'm surprised he's not the favorite. Scott Dixon's a favorite, and I get that. He's very good on them as well. But plus 600, I feel like very good value on Joseph Newgarden. And then Will Power, he's the reigning champion. He did only win one race last season, but I should probably fix that. It's plus 1,000, not plus 100. But he is 10-1 to win this race. He finished fourth at Texas last season, third and second at Iowa, sixth at Gateway. So a guy that knows how to get it done on ovals and can be up there in the mix. Again, if something goes wrong, if a Newgarden has a mechanical failure, something like that, I feel like Power could be a recipient of the goodwill from that. And at 10-1, I feel like he's worth a small sprinkle as well.
Truth be told, Cody's just positioning for us to get an IndyCar gambling podcast. And that's,
if they keep getting the odds like this out early, Rod, I'm be sending that to the bosses.
I mean, the SGPN just could very well become the motorsports gambling hub of the world. And I'm not going to hate that, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Why not, right?
No, why not at all? All right. Well, get out your pen and paper. We're going to go over the bets for this SpeedyCash.com. 250 from the Texas Motor Speedway. Cody started you out with Christian Eckes as a top five truck at minus 120. I fully endorse this. I'm giving you Stuart Friesen as a top three truck at plus 220. And then Cody and I, as we've done so many times this week, are going head-to-head. He's giving you Matty D over Tyler Ankrum at minus 120. I'm flipping that around and saying Tyler Ankrum is going to finish over Matty D at minus 110. Cody is telling you that Taylor Gray is going to finish better than Matt Crafton at plus 130. I said Nick Sanchez is going to finish better than Corey Heim at plus 100. Cody is giving you Jake Garcia to win group, is that three? It is group three, isn't it? Or group C?
Group C.
Yeah, group C at plus 275.
I did write three, didn't I?
You sure did. I knew what you meant, buddy.
It's the third letter of the alphabet.
It is. So you're close.
I've been working on my alphabet, so I wanted to get that right.
To win group C at plus 275. That consists of Howard Holmes, Carruth, Thompson, and Vargas. I'm giving you Christian Eckes to win group E. E, A, B, C, D, E, four. Group four at plus 250 over
Wait
Corey.
A minute.
Corey Heim.
I don't think Ben the Rose. Math checks out on that, Ron.
I told you I'm bad at math. You guys, if you've listened to this show for 5 minutes, you know I'm bad at math. Corey Heim, Ben Rhodes, and Nick Sanchez. And then Cody's giving you Taylor Gray as a top five car, not Tanner, at plus 350. I am telling you to hedge a little bit with the winning manufacturer as Toyota at plus 290. And then, of course, Cody is giving you Zane Smith to win at plus 320. And then Purdy at 25-1. Taylor Gray at 25-1. I'm giving you Stuart Friesen as a backup to Zane Smith at 750. And then, of course, there's the bonus IndyCar bets. Joseph Newgarden at plus 600. And Will Power at 10-1 to win this Texas IndyCar race.
Tell the bosses you want the IndyCar Gambling Podcast.
Oh, my God. Please bang the drum for that. We've already got F1. We've already got NASCAR. We might as well throw an Indy into the mix and call it good. Yeah. I'd do it with you, Cody. Hey,
maybe if the books keep blessing us with this, we'll have something in the works down the road. Stay tuned.
You mean you and I have to talk more racing? Oh, heavens no.
We're only doing 6 shows a week on racing, Rod. We could probably fit another one in there somewhere.
There's 7 days. I'm just saying, like,
bingo.
Listen, we're already going to hire lawyers together to divorce lawyers, so we might as well just make this thing all
yeah. All our official. Wives don't need to see us anyways. That's
no,
fine.
No, my kids can grow up watching me on TV.
Well, Dad was around. He was just on the TV.
Oh, man. Well, before I really get myself in any more trouble, why don't we go ahead and let everybody know?
Yeah, I'm fine. My wife doesn't listen anyway. She hears me enough.
Nah, mine does, and that's where I get into trouble half the time.
Hi, Rod's wife.
Hi, babe. I'll be up soon. All right. Anyways, let's go ahead and close out this episode and close out the betting part of it. Man, tomorrow we got DFS. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're almost to the weekend. Formula One, FP1 going on right now. So we've already got some bets on the line there. Make sure you check out the F1 Gambling Podcast. And subscribe to the YouTube. Again, click the bell. We've been doing the recap shows on Sunday nights when it works out. Hopefully we'll be doing that again this weekend if it works. Have a good time over there interacting with everybody live. And follow me on Twitter at Husker_Zeeb. I'll be sharing IndyCar picks over there. I'll be sharing them in the Discord as well. We got an IndyCar channel there. So make sure you check it out.
Yes, man. Yes, man. Follow me on Twitter at RJ Villagomez. And yeah, by the way, F1 Gambling Podcast now up on the YouTube channel for the NASCAR. Check that out. People already have been. Love you for it. We'll continue to do that because I feel like it's good cross promotion and you got a chance to introduce yourself to F1. And like Cody said, we got some bets in already.
Don't tell Rod. Cover your ears. But spoiler alert, Rod already hit his first F1 bet on the week.
Boom, baby. I gotta love that. I'm telling you right now, man, I'm pumped for it. I can't wait. F1's going. So get over there now. Cash some more bets with us. The race is about to start. But I don't know. Australian time? Whatever.
It is like Saturday at midnight, so.
Yeah, it is. So whatever. Follow me on Twitter, RJ Villagomez. Link in the bio to everything I got going on, whether it's here, whether it's In Between Media. Go check out the Back Road. We just wrapped it up. It's up on YouTube now at In Between Media. We're talking more racing there. Also, check me out on the betting preview show with Derek Yoder. We did that on Wednesday. Watch me wither under the Chris Wormy cross-section or cross-examination. God, that guy made me like 5 inches small. It's crazy. Anyways, we're done. We'll see you tomorrow with DFS. Till next time, let's go racing and let it ride.